4. Mark chapter number 4. You brought your Bibles with you. Mark chapter number 4. We'll begin reading towards the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, down through verse 41, or the end of the chapter, whichever comes first. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. I've often wondered about that last expression. I don't know why the Holy Spirit put it in there. There's no context before that leads up to it. There's no context after the storm. We don't know whether the little ships survived. We assume they did because I think they're all under the protecting hand of the Lord. But we don't know why the Holy Spirit said, and there were also with him other little ships. Does this mean that the Lord himself was in a little ship and there were also other little ships? Or does it mean the Lord was in a bigger ship, but then there were also little satellite ships around the bigger ship? Does it mean if the big ship in which the Lord was in trouble of sinking, think how more desperate the situation was for the little ships? I don't know how we're supposed to go with this. But it seems as if the Lord's hand is upon situations like this. For instance, the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. We have an elder who works in the space program at Cape Kennedy. And, of course, he's a believer and he's a scientist. And so we say we have an elder who's a Christian scientist. And you have to make sure people understand what you're talking about, you see. But he said, you know, Phil, if it weren't for the fact that Colossians says, by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things consist or hold together, we wouldn't be able to have a space program. But he says, we know there's certain rules that are always the same. And when we send astronauts up into the universe, we know they're going to go about 17,000 miles an hour. And if it weren't for these absolutes, we wouldn't be able to have a space program. Now, the unsaved world, you see, doesn't give any credence to God for this. But there is a symmetry, there is an order in God's universe, you see, and this is so. So why the Holy Spirit says that when there were with him also other little ships, we don't know. As I said, they're not mentioned again, but anyway, that's the way it is. So you read it and you say, thank the Lord, and you hope nobody asks any questions on it, and you go on. But anyway, that's verse 36, and then verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. And I want you to link two things. You can do it mentally if you're capable of doing those sorts of things as we get older. You know, you write more things down. Then you forget what you did with a piece of paper that you wrote things down on. But I want you to always link up. Draw a line in your Bible if you have to or whatever, but in verse 37 where you read, there arose, great storm, link that up with verse 39, he arose. Because you find in your life every time a storm arises, the Lord also arises. The story is also true of Gideon, you see, when the Amalekites and all the Midianites and the children of the east gathered, then you read in Gideon's story, and the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. The word there is the Holy Spirit clothed Gideon. And you find that when you have a crisis in your life, the Lord is always there. He's always there. And so I want you to always remember somehow or other that there arose a great storm. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, or literally be muzzled. And I've been thinking a lot about that this weekend, be muzzled, because you might be confronted with a snarling, angry dog, as I have been several occasions recently. The dog's in our neighborhood, and I never know where he is, but he always knows where I am. And I can go for a walk, you know, and suddenly he's there, and it's snarling sort of a thing. And I say, nice fella, you know. My voice changes, you know. And I kind of wish my wife was there, because maybe he'd chase her and I could get home, you see.
But you know, if that dog had a muzzle on him, I wouldn't fear him one little bit. And I said, you can stand there and snarl all you want, and you can growl, and you can paw the earth and do whatever you have to do. I'm not afraid of you because you're muzzled. And I said, Lord, help me to remember this about the storms in my life. The storms are going to continue to come one way or another, but Lord, help me to remember that the Lord has said that the storm is muzzled. I don't have to fear it. Doesn't do away with a snarling storm, but the snarling storm now can't hurt me because the Lord has muzzled it. Lord, help me always to remember that. And so he said, be muzzled, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, every living person today has storms. Every living person, the kids have storms in school. They worry about this test. They worry about graduating. They worry about this sort of a thing. We get out of school, we continue to have storms. Have storms in our business. Sometimes we have storms in our family life of one sort or another, as people have been praying this morning hour. Every living person has storms. As we get older, we begin to have physical storms. We can't do what we used to be able to do, or it takes us longer to do what we used to be able to do. A fellow retired down in Florida, and he said to me, Phil, he said, all my working years, I worried about what am I going to do with retirement. He says, well, I hate to see a new day dawn because I have nothing to do and be absolutely, totally bored. And he worried about it all his working years. And then he said, but by the time I retired, I found the Lord had taken care of it. Because now that I'm older, it takes me 8 hours to do something I used to do in 15 minutes, you see. So he said, I don't have any more time now than I had before. And as long as you're living upon the face of this earth, you're going to have storms. You're going to have pressures of some kind or other. Back in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 55. Psalm number 55 in the first few verses of it. Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove! Exclamation point. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Back in Psalm number 55. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I could escape, I could fly away, you see, from the tempest. Now in Psalm number 11, some advisors to David said, flee as a bird to your mountain. And that's just escapism, you see. But if you're a living person this morning, you have some storm in your life right now. Something's bothering you, some decision you have to make. And people sometimes say to me, oh, I hate to see the conference end, because then I've got to go back into the responsibilities of the world. I've got to face this responsibility and this sort of a problem and this situation. And we are not immune from storms, not even believers. Not even believers, you see. John chapter 16, verse number 33. John 16, 33. This is what the Lord says in that place. John 16 and 33. Reading from the Word, he says, in the last verse of John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Now that's our popular English word, pressure. Everybody's under pressure these days. The Lord says, in this life, in this world, you shall have pressure. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So you have two P words there. He talks about peace, and he talks about pressure. And you say, Lord, how can you, in the same verse, have peace and pressure both? And the Lord says, if you trust in me, you can. And simply becoming a Christian doesn't immunize us from having problems. In fact, one lady down our way, newly saved, she called me up and she says, you know, I got more problems now than I had before I got saved. And I thought, oh dear, here's a discouraged Christian. I began to cast about in my mind for verses on confidence and joy and trust. And then she said, don't get me wrong, I'm not discouraged. I just got more problems now since I gotten saved. Said it used to be just me I worried about. And when my neighbor said, oh, poor me, I've got the flu, and I thought to myself, it could be worse. I could have the flu. I was concerned about myself. But now that I'm saved, I'm concerned about everybody. And my neighbors say, now you're a believer now, and you seem to have some kind of a growing prayer life. I want you to pray for this and that and something else, you see. Now my concern is everybody. Now that I've gotten saved, I've got more problems than I had. She said, but they're good problems. They're good problems. And very often that's the way it is when you get saved. And if you're here this morning and you're a living person, some of you I doubt about, but if you're a living person here this morning, this early hour, you've got pressures. What do you do about these things? Back here in Mark chapter 4. Some storms in your life simply need to be rebuked because they're not Christ-like, they're not biblical, they're not spiritual things, and you have to face them and say, be rebuked, like the Lord did with this storm. Some things are not for your spiritual good, and they simply need to be rebuked. Over in the book of Romans, I won't take time to read it, but in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse number 1, you see, now there's a storm that needs to be rebuked. There is therefore now no condemnation to those what? Who are in Christ Jesus. And you'll have days when you won't feel as spiritual as you do other days. And the devil will take advantage of that, and he'll say, you're not even saved, because if you were saved, you wouldn't have that thought. You wouldn't have that attitude. You wouldn't do this. And he can cast doubts in your mind if you let him do so. And you say, no, the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1 says, I know that I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is therefore now no condemnation. On that basis, how could you lose your salvation? If there's no condemnation because you are in Christ Jesus, you see. And that's a storm in your life. Maybe I'm not even saved. Maybe I just went through a religious exercise. Maybe I really didn't trust the Lord. And you turn to other verses like John chapter 5 and verse number 24 and some of those other good, confident verses, you see. You say, no, I refuse to believe that I am not saved because I know I've trusted in the Lord. I can remember the time when I did so. For 14 years I drove a school bus. That's one of the reasons I am the way I am today. And sometimes I'd be in the school bus office and somebody would come in and say, I would like to make out an application to become a school bus driver. And if I could get their eye, I'd say, no, you don't. No, you don't. You might better starve to death than drive a school bus. Well, you don't say those things. You think those things, but you don't say those things. And we had permission from the Department of Public Safety in Tallahassee in Florida that we could send off this person's name and address and driver's license number and get a readout on their traffic violations. And of course the person would ask the newcomer, said, have you ever received a moving traffic violation? Oh no! I've been driving for 97 years and I've never received a ticket for anything at all. Okay. And we'd send it off to Tallahassee, and sometimes we'd get a page and a half or 2 pages back from some massive computer that said, this person has been received a ticket for this and 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 this. And it always was headed, following is a list of this person's traffic violations. And, of course, their application went no farther. Sometimes we'd ask another person and say, have you ever received a traffic citation at all? No, I never have. And then we'd get their readout back and said, this person, this address, this license number, you see, following is a list of all the infractions that this person has done. And the page would be absolutely blank. And when I'd see it, I'd say, that sounds like Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Following is a list of all this person's sins, and there's no sins listed. because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Lord Jesus has died for your sins. And the page is blank, isn't it? Upon what basis could you lose your salvation, you see? And so one of the storms that needs to be rebuked, as the Lord rebuked this storm, is the storm of doubt, you see. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 4, another storm that needs to be rebuked right out of hand as soon as it appears, is the storm of fear. Have this in 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 16. The storm of fear, and this attacks us in many different ways. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he who dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Someone has said this is the greatest combination of monosyllabic words that you can find anywhere in the English language. As he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And it does, doesn't it? Fear hath torment. It can rob you of your appetite. It can rob you of your sleep. It can rob you of the enjoyment of the things of the Lord. Fear hath torment. He who feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us, and so on and so forth. The storm of fear needs to be rebuked immediately. Immediately. No, the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. He's promised to be with me whithersoever I am. He's promised to be with me to the end of this age. He has promised never to leave me nor to forsake me. Perfect love casts out fear. And if you're fearful today, you need to deny that storm. You need to rebuke it right away. Because it's not godly, it's not Christ-like, it's not spiritual, it's not even biblical. Reject it out of hand. Lord, I may not know what you're trying to do, but Lord, I don't fear. I don't fear. Because Lord, you're in charge. Lord, you still got your hand on the steering wheel of my life, you see. And I'm going to trust the Lord, and it's a wonderful story. But you know, as I travel around, I find many Christians are fearful because they're worried about things over which they have no control. They worry about Saddam Hussein. They worry about inflation, you see. And they worry about things that they can't change anyway. And if you worry about things that you can't change, your worry is going to be endless. They worry about things that are God's responsibility. You and I need to preach the gospel and to witness to people. But you have to leave the results up to the Holy Spirit. He is the one who convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What you and I do are sowers of the seed. Young fellow up in, where were we? North Carolina, almost said Canada. That didn't seem right. North Carolina. But I had the joy of speaking one whole week to Christian counselors, young people. It was one of the most delightful weeks I ever had. Bible study all morning long. Then the afternoon, they'd go out and witness. And they went to shopping centers, and they went house to house, and they talked to folks. And one young fellow says, Mr. Morgan, I want you to pray for me. He says, I've been saved for several years. I've never talked to anybody about the Lord Jesus. He says, I know that's wrong, and I'm gonna break that thing this afternoon. I'm gonna talk to people about the Lord. I said, I'll be praying for you, and I did. All the time they were gone, I was in my room praying. And I came back, and I looked at this fella, and I knew that he'd had a good afternoon, because he wasn't walking like most of us do. He was floating. He was floating about 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and his face was radiant. I said, how'd it go? Marvelous, he said, marvelous. I had a great time. I said, I'd like to know about it. He said, I'll tell you. He said, I walked down the main street. I was all by myself. The other kids had all gone off somewhere. And I said, now I'm going to pick one of these people coming towards me and tell them about Jesus. First guy that came along looked like he was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I said, now if I tell him about Jesus and he gets mad, he can pulverize me. I'll let him go by. And he says, here's a nice little old lady. But she got a cane. And I let her go by too. Said, finally, there's a young fella came along about my age. And I said, now he's about the same age I am. I think I'll tell him about. And I stopped him on the street and I said, how do you do? My name is so-and-so. And he says, I'd like to tell you how to be saved. And the young fellow says, I was hoping somebody'd come along and tell me how to be saved. You see? Well, in those days, they were using God's four spiritual laws. And so, the young fellow said, well, there's some things I gotta tell you first. He said, I didn't know how to just approach somebody without going through these four spiritual laws. So we went through the first one. Said, you ready to be saved? I told you I'm ready to be saved. I want to be saved right now. Well, wait a minute. Now we've got to go through the second step. And he went through the second step, you know, and the third step. Finally got to the fourth one. He said, now you want to get saved? And he said, this guy was getting a little irritated with me. He said, what if I die before I get saved? You better hurry up and tell me how to get saved. And so finally I came to the end of my prescribed course, you see. And he got saved sitting right there on the park bench. He says, you know, Mr. Morgan, the big hang up I had with talking to people was I thought I had to be the salesman. The Holy Spirit is the salesman. I just have to be the announcer. And that's the word that appears in the New Testament. Preach the word. Simply announce, you see. All that I have to do is tell people about it. I only have to be the witness. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The storm of fear needs to be rebuked. The storm of faithlessness, right here in the fourth chapter of this gospel by Mark. The storm of faithlessness. Verse number 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, look at their question. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, don't you care about the situation? And that's the way we think of God today. I don't know of hardly anyone, many unsaved folks even, who doubt the ability of God to do something in the situation, but we doubt God's willingness to do something about the situation. And this is what these disciples are facing here in Mark chapter number 4. They didn't say, Lord, can't you do something about the situation? They said, Lord, don't you care to do something about the situation? And I think that hurts the Lord more than our saying, Lord, is there anything that you can do in the situation? Lord, don't you love us anymore? Lord, don't you see what's going on? Lord, don't you care about my aching heart? And the storm of faithlessness needs to be rebuked, you see, because it's not spiritual, it's not Christ-like, it's not biblical. To doubt God's ability and care to do something. How can you read John 3:16 and wonder if God ever loves you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then you read later on, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When God loves, he gives. And when you and I love, we need to give too, you see. The storm of faithlessness, rebuke it right out of hand. The storm of lost blessing. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Look how it starts. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Verse number 1 says, this ship that is now in process of sinking used to be a blessing. The Lord used it as a floating pulpit when chapter 4 of Mark starts, you see. It used to be a blessing. By the time you get over to verse number 37, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now filling up rapidly in the process of foundering. And sometimes the storm that you and I need to rebuke is the storm of lost blessings. Or at least ignored blessing. And sometimes when you get in a storm, or we get into a storm, we have the tendency to forget that the Lord has never failed us at any previous time. The Lord's never been late in anything, has he? I find the Lord never very often ahead of time, but when you need something, he provides it. But we have a tendency to lose it somewhere between the blessing of verse number 1 and the sinking of verse number 37, that this thing that the Lord brought into my life that used to be a great blessing sometimes becomes a great pressure. It becomes a great storm. Where we're delighted to be able to have a Sunday school class and to teach the kids, but then after a while it loses some of its glamour, you see. And you're going along well with the lesson and you're just progressing so fine and the kids are listening so well, you see. And one of them raises his or her hand. I'm thinking about little kids now, and you say, yes, what is it? I threw up last night. Right in the middle of the lesson, it doesn't have anything to do with what you're talking about, and you say, oh dear, I failed again. Failed again. But it's amazing what kids can pick up, isn't it? And sometimes that that started out to be a blessing in your life and you thank the Lord for it, now it's in the process of foundering. You know, I guess that's what revival is. We recapture again all the goodnesses of the Lord. The storm of lost blessings needs to be rebuked. Storm of delay, verse number 37. I often wondered about these disciples. Remember, several of them are professional mariners. They used to be fishermen. They should have known about these things. But why wait until the ship is in the process of sinking before you do anything about it? You know, these professionals, they say, uh-oh, the waves are coming in over the gunwale, you know. Somebody ought to do something. Yeah, somebody else, you see. Somebody ought to do something. Why wait until you see what the result is going to be before you get totally concerned about it, you see? The Lord says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let things get hardened in your life. Let things become concrete in your life. It's a lot easier to handle something in your life that's not Christ-like when the thing is yet tender than to let it grow and get big and very clumsy and so forth, then begin to worry about it. Dad had a friend who had a leaky rowboat. And Dad said, well, the way you solve that is you drill a hole in the bottom and that'll let the water out. And he was the sort of a guy that believed everything, and I don't know whether he lost his rowboat or not. But Dad talked him one day into changing the air in his tires in his automobile because the air gets stagnant and so forth. But you see, a lot of things that afflict me are hereditary. These are days that we blame things on everybody else. Fault of my parents, you see, the way I am today. The storm of delay. If you know something needs to be fixed in your life, the storm of delay needs to be rebuked. I need to be revived. I need to talk to people more about the Lord. I need to pray more. I need to read my word. When are you going to start? New Year's resolution, you see. If it's important to do sometime, it's important to do now. You know, I like Rahab the harlot. Way back there in the Old Testament, I like her. And she entertained the spies, you remember? And she says, you know, I want to become a part of your religious group if there's some way that I can get in. He says, you get in the same way we get in. That's by faith. Now, when you hear the invasion start, you throw the scarlet cord out the window. I don't think it was a scarlet cord because those two guys went down it. There must have been a rope. I wouldn't want to go out of a window on a cord, would you? I think it was a rope we're talking about here. And they said, when you hear the invasion start, throw the scarlet cord out of the window. And as soon as they were gone, she threw the scarlet cord out of the window. I like that. I like that. She says, there's a lot of folks going to be in my house looking for this protection that Jehovah God's going to provide. And maybe I will have passed on by then. Maybe I'll have the flu in bed and not be able to get out of bed to throw the rope out the window. Maybe this is going to happen. I may be shopping somewhere and so forth. And I think she said, if it's important to do sometime, it's important to do right now. And out the window. Now, Jericho is a very beautiful city. Still beautiful today. But every time she looked out the window, the first thing she saw was that scarlet cord, wasn't it? It meant something to her spiritually. Storm of delay. If it's important that God wants you to do it sometime, you need to do it right now, today. Storm of delay. Some storms need to be rebuked. But then you turn back to the Gospel by Matthew chapter 14, and some storms need to be walked on. Some storms can be good, you see, in your life. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. Matthew 14, 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Oh my, that's a whole lesson in itself. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Some storms need to be walked upon. In other words, I call these stepping stone storms. Some of the things that the Lord allows to come into your life as pressures or storms are beneficial to you because it leads you closer to Him. Leads you closer to Him. So on one occasion, you see, the Lord would rebuke a storm, as we have to on several occasions. On other occasions, the storm came along, and it was used as a beneficent sort of an experience for Peter and for the other ones, you see. And you will agree with me, as we mentioned earlier this weekend, that the times when you have grown closer to the Lord have not been in the prosperous, joyous times in your life, because then we have a tendency to coast. But when the Lord has allowed a storm to come into your life, and you've cried out unto the Lord, and you've trusted Him more than you ever have before, and it's driven you to the Word of God, and you have enlisted your Christian friends in a prayer ministry for you, and you say, these are the times that have drawn me closer to the Lord. Dear Saint down our way, she's with the Lord now, but she had two different kinds of arthritis. One she was supposed to exercise with, and the other one she was supposed to rest with, and whatever one she favored, it aggravated the other one. And the Lord took her home when she was in her mid-80s, and she said, Phil, I have had constant pain in my body since the day that I was 18. And I think about going to visit that dear sister, and she lived about 35 miles from us, and all the way over I'd think of verses of joy and comfort and confidence and strength to share with her. You know, bless your hearts, I never got a chance to say a word. And I knock at the door, and she said, Who is it? Preacher Phil. Oh, come on in. I'd open the door, and she'd say, Sit down, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me today. And I was always the one that got ministered to. And I'd drive back home after a while, and said, I'd never used one of those verses. Never used one of them. Next time I went to visit, I thought of those verses again. Dumb me, I might know, and I wouldn't have gotten a chance to use them, you see. But here she is in constant pain. Let me tell you the blessings of the Lord. And her arthritis, I think, was a stepping stone storm in her life. And some of the storms in your life can be stepping stone storms. There's one other. Back here to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 45. Mark 6 and verse number 45. We have this word here. Mark 6, 45. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. Isn't it an amazing thing? They never caught what he was doing. He said, I want you to go to the other side. We've read this in each of these three passages of Scripture, and they forgot it. Now, how can you sink in the middle of the Sea of Galilee if the Lord has told you to go to the other side? But, like the disciples, we have forgotten many of the things. And each of these cases, When he had sent them away, verse number 46, he departed into a mountain to pray. When the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. We forget that he sees us. One of them I said, where's the Lord? Where's the Master? Have you seen him? Last I saw him, he's going up in the mountain to pray. Oh, no. He may be on the backside of the mountain. He's got his eyes closed. He's praying. Oh, he doesn't know what's going on in our lives. And he saw them toiling and rowing, and in the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. That's just like the Lord. The Lord is the most polite person you know. He doesn't intrude himself in where he's not wanted. You would have thought he would have gone to the ship and climbed in, you see. No, he waits until he's invited. He would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Some storms need to be gone through. Now we would have written this scripture saying, as soon as the Lord saw them toiling and rowing, he said to the storm, now you stop. That's the way we would have set this scripture up, because we would say, wherever the Lord is, there is no trouble. There is no pressure. There are no storms. But he comes to them very often in the storm. And the storm doesn't cease until sometime later. And sometimes, you know, dear friends, our hearts are troubled because we say, well, maybe I'm not saved, or maybe there's sin in my life, because why do I have this storm in my life, and why doesn't the Lord do something about it? We say, if the Lord were here, the storm would have to cease, but that's not necessarily the case, you see. The Apostle Paul had that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, and the Lord allowed it to stay. It seems funny that the Lord would allow Satan to do something and approve of it. It's like Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Lord was led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it's hard for us to put those two things together, you see, in a verse. Three times, Apostle Paul said, I besought the Lord that he would remove the thorn in the flesh from me. Doesn't mean he prayed three times about it, but the word is, and the Lord had said unto me, the first time he prayed, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul prayed again. The Lord said, I told you my grace is sufficient for thee. Three times he did this, my grace is sufficient for thee. And sometimes the Lord comes to us in the storm, in the storm. Sometimes in order to bring a person to repentance, the Lord has to destroy a great deal of their life. Sometimes he has to take away their health. Sometimes he has to take away their business in order to break their spirit and bring that person to himself. And the Lord very often comes to us in the storm. So what do? Some storms need to be rebuked. Some storms need to be seen as stepping stone storms. And sometimes the storms need to be gone through, because that's where the Lord is. What to do about storms? Here's some lessons in the Word of God. Now let's bow together in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the help that you give by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we pray now the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon it, because you have told us in the Word, your Word shall not return unto you void. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come here and to look into the Word of God at this early hour. We pray, Father, that the savor of it might continue to be with us throughout the remainder of the day, if you give the remainder of the day to us. We pray, Father, blessing now upon us as we go to enjoy the breakfast time together. Again, Father, we thank you for all of those that have worked so diligently to prepare these wondrous meals for us. Father, once again, we pray that this day in all things, the Lord Jesus Christ
might continue to have the preeminence. We ask these things, Father, in His name and for His sake. Amen. Meeting is over.